Alrighty, we're back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon, and it is an absolute honor to welcome Gregory Blair back to the show. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me.
It's an honor. It's been 5 years. I can't believe it. What with COVID and everything, how's your life been?
Well, probably like a lot of people because of COVID. It's been an interesting time, to say the least, you know, on and off, on and off. Are we open? Are we closed? What are we doing?
Yeah, I'm sure you had some downtime and then some time where you were doing like Zoom stuff, and I mean, it was a whole different world for everybody, you're right.
It really was. I mean, fortunately, because I wear so many hats, as a writer, for example, COVID didn't affect writing hardly at all. You know, I could finish scripts and all of that jazz very easily. As far as actually making films, you know, as a director, working as an actor, that was a complete shutdown for the most part, for large periods of time, obviously, because you gotta almost have to do that in person, with rare exceptions.
Yeah, that's true. It was interesting what the entertainment industry was able to do with everybody being at home. There was a lot of interesting at-home horror movies and stuff like that. It was actually turned out very well.
Yeah, well, I mean, people, one of the things that is, I think, a really great truism is that challenges force creativity. And so I think that's a great example of what happened during that period for artists. We were forced to come up with new ways to either create content and or get it out there.
Right. It's either do that or just go broke.
Totally, yeah. I mean, even I made a film with a short film with a bunch of people, had them film their pieces on their phones or whatever camera they had available and send me the pieces, and I stitched it all together. You know, it's by no means my greatest work of art or anything, but, you know, we all did what we could during that period. The dogs are excited about it.
I know. I'm like shuffling, like trying to turn on a fan or something. I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah, well, you know, it's what happens.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was going to ask you, you've worked with a lot of interesting people, including a couple guys I've known for over a decade. Bishop Stevens and Bill Oberst Jr. Well, we might have to hold on. Hold on a second. I think one of the dogs got in my throat.
Yes. Yeah, I've worked with both of them, and pure joy. Both of them are, you know, consummate professionals on the one hand, and on the other hand, just the nicest guys, you know, and I think that's one of the things for me. When I work with people, I want to work with people who have both of those elements to them, that diligent, professional, prepared, talented side, and then also people who are just nice people and fun people, people you want in the sandbox with you. Those are the people I enjoy working with. Those are the people I'm happy to work with a second, third, and, you know, many more times after that. And both of those guys you mentioned fit that category beautifully. Bill, of course, was my leading man in Dead the Revisions, which is a brand new cut coming out early next year. I'm very excited about that. And Bishop Stevens and I worked together. We were both in a film called Lockdown, which is now out. You can watch that. And we're also both in a film called Trick and Treat. It should be coming out sometime next year as well. So, yeah. I would work again with either one of them in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I've known Bishop since our days in professional wrestling, and he's just got such a big heart. I always enjoy seeing him on the convention scene these days. And Bill I've known since 2011 when I saw him in Abraham Lincoln versus Zombies, and I go, I got to have this guy on my show. And we've kind of maintained a friendship. So, yeah, they're both very talented. And Bill surprises me because he's so scary looking in a sense, but he's such a kind-hearted man.
Yes, well, he plays, you know.
Oh, right.
He plays all of these awful people, and part of that is just because he is so adept at using what he has. I mean, those eyes are piercing, and he just has to look a certain way, and it can give you chills. You know, that's you know, it's partly the gift of what he was given, but it's also his honing his craft and learning how to use it effectively. Yeah, and he's great at that, you know. Is one of his big influences was Lon Chaney, who could do, you know, who did tons of makeup, of course, many, many times, but also it was about really just sort of creating something on screen that with just a look could, you know, send a chill down your spine. And Bill has got that, and he's got it down. And so, you know, this is why he works again and again as some kind of horrible, awful human being, even though he's the nicest guy on the planet.
Yeah, in the rare occasion I've seen him do something that's not horror, I mean, he can play like a good Southern guy, and his range is ridiculous.
Most of his one-man shows are good guys. I'm trying to remember, one of them is a famous Southern writer who I'm blanking out.
I know.
He's also done Mark Twain. He's done, he does a Charles Dickens, like Christmas Carol, I think. He does a bunch of shows. When he's doing live theater, he's usually not the monster he plays in film.
It's amazing what Hollywood can do, and what you see on TV and what you can see in real life. Two different things.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, just this past year, I think I've only played one nice guy in every, whatever I've worked on, I've been an evil SOB in every single project, except one. I got to be a nice guy in Amber Road, which is coming out, which actually is having its world premiere next month at the Culver City Film Festival. And, I'm a nice guy in that, even though it's a scary, you know, brutal horror film. I'm like one of the nice guys in it. And all the other projects I did this past year, I'm horrible in all of them.
Well, someone else that you played that is far from horrible is someone I've enjoyed very much. He was a legendary host and vaudevillian and actor, comedian Groucho Marx.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Say the secret way.
Adam's film. Yeah. That was terrific fun. An afternoon in, it has a really long name. A regular afternoon in 1967. Yeah. That was big fun. I would never have even thought for a moment to play that character. Adam was looking for someone and hadn't found it. I mean, he had a guy he thought he was going to use who does it around the world, I guess. That's all he does is play Groucho Marx. It didn't work out, so he needed a replacement, and he really wanted to make this film. And I thought, could I do that? Well, I sort of looked up Groucho Marx a little bit to see, can I pull this off? And I sent him a tape of me singing a song, and he was like, yeah, awesome, that's it. So, yeah, that was a real fun character to play.
And with the whole get-up, I mean, you have a look like Groucho Marx with the mustache and the hat. I mean, the glasses, I could see it.
Yeah, you know, it's whenever you take on something like that in its simplest form, it usually is about one or two specific visual cues that sell whatever it is whoever you're trying to put out. Think of, like, Saturday Night Live and those kinds of sketches when somebody's pretending to be somebody else. Kate McKinnon, who used to play Hillary Clinton, for example, she just put on the wig and then make the kind of faces that Hillary would make, and that, it sold it, you know what I mean? So you just need a couple of things. So yeah, I looked up what he looked like at the age that he was in 1967. And I made sure I cut my hair that way, and I did the mustache and did the glasses, and yeah, it was, and it was just a matter of me watching enough of his work to emulate his vocal intonations and his accent, or dialect as such as it was at that point in time in his career. And, you know, that's how you do it. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of his earlier work, but I grew up, like, watching reruns of You Bet Your Life and Say the Secret Way and Divide $100.
There you go. Right. Well, because his Groucho character was a character.
Oh, yeah.
And in the film, I'm really kind of playing him as his real self, which was a little bit different from his character he always put on. I mean, the gigantic mustache, the extra big eyebrows, you know. He was a... Groucho was this character that he created.
Right. So. Yeah, I felt like seeing interviews of him in older life, he was kind of quiet and just kind of not what you would expect, so to say.
Right, which is kind of one of the things I thought Adam very nicely brought out in the piece when, you know, those other people barge in on the party and he's like practically trying to hide and pretend he's not Groucho Marx and, you know, keep that sort of down low side. So, you know. Yeah, Adam really did his research to make that piece sing, if you will. And that's what good writing is all about.
Oh, absolutely. Everything that you want to do and do it well, you have to put in the work.
Definitely. When I was cast to be in Angels of America, it was tons of research because that character that I was playing is based on a real person. And I wanted to make sure that I was as true as I could be to that real person. Another horrible person, speaking of which.
You can't catch a break, Gregory.
So, yeah, I know, exactly. So, yeah, I went, tons of research, found whatever I could online of video of the actual Roy Cohn so that I could be as truthful a representation of who he was when I played the role on stage. Because there's no other... I mean, you're doing a disservice if you don't do that kind of work in those kinds of roles. You know, it's not... When you're creating a character that's completely fictitious, I think you have a lot more leeway.
Definitely.
To come up with things that, you know, no one can say, oh, that's right or wrong. It's your interpretation of the character guided by the director. So, you know, that's different. Like when I did, what else I did this year? Oh, Favorite Son. You know, I play this character, Kyle. And he's a shady SOB, but totally fictitious again. And so, you know, I had free rein to begin to try to decide how I wanted to play that character. And then Family Man, where he's another horrible character. he's the mayor, and he's an alcoholic, and a hit and run, and a spouse abuser, and a child abuser, and a murderer, and many other things. Anyway, but again, a fictitious character, so I could do whatever I want with that, as long as the director was happy. I decided to give him a pass with... was from the South and had migrated through the states to end up where the story actually takes place today. And that gave him sort of this loner, disassociated sort of character, which kind of fits nicely with the fact that he's a little bit of a narcissist and a sociopath, you know, that disassociated factor feeds that, so anyway, that's how I did that character. Well, you know what? I just realized I play a nice guy in Craving, the horror feature, the monster movie that Jason Horton is. That's going to come out next year as well. I play a nice guy in that. So yeah, I guess I had a mixed bag this year of characters I played.
I agree with you. When you go to creating a character, you can make up stuff, you can borrow from... It's amazing how many screwed up people there are in real life, like serial killers and kings and stuff in past, and just did horrific things that you can draw from and make iconic characters. I think like Buffalo Bill and Ed Gein and so on and so forth.
Sure, sure, absolutely. So even when you are creating a character, I mean, obviously in the case of a film where you're just the actor, for example, and you haven't actually written the piece or anything, you have to be true to the writing. So some of that characterization is already on that page. The writer has done that for you.
Good point.
You need to be true to that. But all of the extra layers, that's your job as an actor to find out what those layers will be and how they'll work. I mean, like, going back to Craving, Travis originally wasn't quite as quite as dorky as I played him, but with all of the other characters there and how what I knew I could bring, Jason and I together sort of did some of the writing. And then when I brought it, I said, yeah, I think this is what this film could really benefit from, is if this guy's just a little bit of comic relief. And I think it worked nicely. We'll see. Jason's editing it now, so we'll see what happens when that comes out next year.
Very cool. Well, you've discussed some of the things so far you got coming up, but besides that, what else do you have come up? It seemed like some of the things on IMDb, I feel like I shouldn't trust as much as I do, because it's kind of like, well. But
things end up there that don't end up getting made and what have you. All of the things I've mentioned, 100% as far as I know, coming out. There's another film, Amber Road is, you know, going to be playing at the Culver City Film Festival. Another film that's going to be playing there is 16 Bits, which is the follow-up film to Ugly Sweater Party. Or did you do one in between that I wasn't in? I can't remember. Anyway, it's Taramento's new film, and it stars Kevin Thompson as a 16-bit character in a game, in a, you know, like an old-style, old-school arcade game, who actually gets zapped out of the game and wreaks havoc. So it's a really funny concept. And I have a really funny cameo in that as this yoga studio manager. And, so that's premiering next month on another night separate from Amber Road. And I'm trying to think what else is coming out soon. I have some films I've been working on as far as a writer. I don't know how many of those I can actually talk about. I think I'm going to just say I have a lot of scripts out there in different people's hands, and when I'm able to talk about, when I get the thumbs up that I'm sure I'm able to talk about those, I can talk about those more. You know, there's lots of times there's NDAs, and there's just things you don't want to put out until you know they're going somewhere.
Absolutely. I figured the next best thing as far as a sequel for Ugly Sweater Party will be Ugly Cardigan Party.
I'll have to mention that to Aaron and see what he thinks.
I don't know why that I came up with that, but I think it sounds pretty good.
Why not, you know? Just and center it around a different holiday, because Ugly Sweater Party happens around Christmas time.
You could have Ugly Turtleneck Party.
Cardigan, I'm thinking Thanksgiving for some reason. I don't know why.
You have Ugly Turtleneck Party. You could have a whole like franchise.
Oh my gosh, there you go. You absolutely could.
Where can people find you, Gregor, if they want to follow you or see what you're up to, maybe get you for a movie?
Oh, yeah, I'm everywhere, if they're social media-wise, I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I think all of my it's the Gregory Blair, I think, on all of them. And I'm on Mastodon. I'm trying to think what the other sites are that I'm on. I have a main website, if that's the easiest thing, and you only want to remember one thing, it's gregoryblair.info. That has links to my Facebook and my Twitter and my Instagram and all those other things as well. So you can look me up there. It has a link to my IMDb. it has a link to everything else that I'm on, I can think of. So, yeah, I'm out there, man. You can find me very easily.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming back on the show. It's been a while, and it was nice catching up with you again.
Oh, yeah, man. Anytime. It's always a pleasure.
And have a good Thanksgiving.
You too. Now go feed those dogs.
Yeah, I think my mom already took care of that. They probably still would have been barking.
All right, man. Well, you have a good holiday.
Yes, you as well.
Talk again.
Sounds good. Enjoy the evening.
All right, man. You too.
Alrighty.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Alrighty, guys, big thanks to Gregory Blair, and man, it's been, seems like forever since I've done a show. I think Paul Niemeyer was the last one, and then I got to meet him in person and talk to him at a convention a couple weeks after that. It was really awesome. So we'll not any shows scheduled upcoming, but he will have some people that I need to reschedule. So we will see you upcoming. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great night.
Rusty, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Bango. Booker Wooker Man, tell my people about my brother and sister. Don't you dare. Don't you dare miss this one. Cloverleaf Radio with Jimmy Falcon. Oh, yeah.